Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We may not be able to get in on the hurling action like we're used to,
but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their third year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers exclusive to all GAA club members.
So now you can take home the win right to your door.
Check out Renault.ie/GAA to find out more.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi folks, good morning to you all, and you're very welcome along to another Irish Examiner hurling show in conjunction with our great pals in Renault. Fantastic Saturday of hurling, indeed, finished off with a great game between Laois and Westmeath as well late on that night. It's great stuff. The draws obviously made this morning, Monday morning, so we're going to have a look ahead. Obviously, it's interesting stuff. We're delighted the Latchikos are here again. We could nearly have a racing show this morning now because we're also joined by the legend that is Tommy Larkins, the great Cyril Farrell, Galway's finest son. Cyril, how are you?
Not too bad, no, considering the weekend we had. Looking forward to the race and suppose trying to forget about hurling and football after the weekend.
Cyril, you're going to get into Ballybrit today, I'd say, yeah?
I will, yeah, I'll get in all right. Like, you know, we'd have a lot of contacts in there. Like, they're very strict, but you're looking. We'll put a straw hat on, it'll be all right.
Yeah, I think it's. Besides last year, it'll be my 18th year going up for the Monday of Galway. But I haven't been in Ballybrit in 18 years. I don't think. So I think it's the usual today. It's check in and adjourn to Puckon or one of those great haunts. Indoor, I have my vaccine yoke printed off nearly. Better make sure, Stephen Sheedy, if you hear this later on, get your vaccine certificate.
Dalo, you want to print a few of them now just in case you might wet one of them or something like.
One in every pocket.
Might be great up there.
One in every pocket, Marco. and in fairness to you, Mark Landers, you didn't come dolled out today in a Cork jersey or anything like that. It's your usual background. Like, we know our other guests there now had Limerick knocked out Clare the weekend, would probably be head to toe in green, and the straw hat would be out again. And fair play, chap.
I wouldn't do it today, Dala. I know you're in mourning, and in fairness to you, Jesus, it could have been so much different. Tony Kelly and Patrick Collins, I suppose time stood still for about 3 seconds, really, didn't it? Because whether you're a Cork supporter or a Clare supporter, the minute he got the ball in his hand, you knew there was a chance, there was a goal on. And when he actually broke through to the edge of the square, I said, oh, Jesus, 95 all over again. But thankfully it was Patrick Collins was at the back of it and he stopped it. But it would have been so dramatic, Anthony.
Well, it was dramatic either way, I suppose. Look at a brilliant save from your point of view. A cruel no goal from our point of view. There's no one in Clare complaining about Tony. If I met him now, I'd say, why didn't you go low? That one year ahead, him with the LIT freshers, Sir Lewis, a lot longer, we'd always say go low on them one. But I think the fact that he had to hit it off the Hurley, he probably just went for power. Do you know?
It's easy when you're looking on. I thought cutting through, like as you say, I thought it was going to be a goal. But if you looked again, if you give a little hand pass to his left, Clare man was loose. But like, they're all split second this evening. So a fantastic game. Like, at least Clare played. Compared to Galway, Clare played. They went down with honour. They got 100% out of themselves. Whereas we here in Galway, like, I think going into the last water break, we're about 16 points down. Waterford completely on top. We were completely, say, no energy, no pace. Like a no-show, just the same as against Dublin.
Yeah. We start there, TJ, and I didn't go at all now because between the pub either side of it, and then I wanted to watch Galway and Waterford, and you know, if we're going to the Gaelic grounds now, would have been looking to try and get in somewhere and have a look at it, right? So just came up here for the two games up to the house. And, you know, was it really, I suppose we speculated last week, both teams had poor starts to the year, championship boys. And we said who the biggest bounce was in would really now save for the last 14 minutes, possibly around roughly. There wasn't really no kick in Galway at all, which was, you know, shocking for us, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, I suppose, look, we've all been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. Well, I certainly have anyway, right? Where things are flat and you're kind of asking questions afterwards. And look, I suppose if the games this year in Championship Hurling were played again against Dublin and against Waterford, you'd like to think that Galway would be an awful lot different. But that's the way the ball bounces. You have to be right on the day. And for whatever reason, Galway were very flat in both games. And you got the sense early doors here again that Jamie Barron was just kind of just very busy around the middle of the field. Galway couldn't seem to get a handle on him. And he seemed to be getting those scores easy. Now, in fairness to Galway, they had kind of recovered and kind of brought it back to their own 6 points all and stuff. But after that, Waterford took over on the middle of the field. Galway couldn't cope with the runners at all. And like really good hurlers and good intelligent players in Galway, their use of the ball was questionable. They were giving it to Waterford. And look, we're back to that old adage again that, you know, I mean, if you give the ball to a good team, they might give it back to you. But if you give the ball to a really well-drilled coach team like Waterford, they'll hurt you. And that was really, really happening in that second and third quarter. And as Cyril said there, like Galway found themselves with a mountain to climb, like 15, 16 points. Now, I know there's been huge momentum swings in hurling, and that seems to be kind of nearly par for the course in the last couple of years. But really, going into the last quarter, 15 points down, like, it's game over territory, isn't it?
It is, and I suppose look at the focus a bit, first of all, on the victors, I suppose, and great bounce back by them. Even Cahill on the sideline, sir, he was up for it way more, you could tell, than the match against Clare. And, of course, having Prunty and, like, what a man Jamie Barron is in the middle of the field.
Yeah, well, he's electric dynamo, like, and he dominated the whole game. Pure horror. Not physically strong, but like the pace of Waterford, and it seemed to be every ball they got, they drove at the Galway defence, drew a man, walked it through, and like they had overlapped the whole time, but they had a pace. Like in the modern day hurling, it's one thing to hurl, but you have to have pace as well. Cork have it as well, but Waterford, like Clare Tip in the lead, very much the same thing, blew them out with pace, kind of lost form through it. What I like about Cahill and Dano is even early in his career, he was at all the Fitzgibbon games and all the league games, so there would be 10 at a league game. But he was at everything, asking about Waterford fellas. Did you know anyone that was playing in the, you know, the cut that we wouldn't know? He wound up yesterday with two dependents in the half-back line. Now, these boys were in college in Limerick, and they were in the forwards. And, you know, Stephen Binner's having a fantastic year. But these guys, didn't have Hutchins with great kind of, you know, movement. They're all moving, but he's getting the best out of them. Now, I know, I think deep down, Cahill's CV, he's looking forward to taking over Tip sometime. That my belief. Like, and he's making, like, he's putting his name forward whenever Liam goes. Like, he probably will be the next guy. But like Waterford, people forget during the year they were in the All Ireland final last year. Like, you know, and I know Tyler Burke is a terrible loss, would be lost any team. But like, they're playing very, very well, and they've settled down again. And you know, they're going to be a force. And like, you know, the next day against Tip. Have lovely hurlers, but like the one thing they're probably lacking is a bit like Galway, they're lacking pace. And like at a certain stage, you can get as fit as you like, but you're not going to get pace at a certain stage in your life. So it's going to be very intriguing. But you're like, for a neutral, if Waterford could go on and win All Ireland, I know now we're all from different counties, but for a neutral looking in, there'd be nothing wrong with Waterford winning All Ireland. You know what I mean? They haven't won for 59 or 16 or just like it to do great for hurling, like, you know, but. It's still a hard road. Like, it's going to be a tough one to win, no matter how you look at it.
And then they play with pressing 11 attackers, didn't they? Like, they had six forwards, two midfielders. You could say Callum Lyons, Stephen Bennett, and Kieran Bennett. So they were nearly three forwards as well. Or well, definitely attack minded anyway.
Shane Bennett.
Callum Lyons, Stephen Bennett, and Kieran Bennett.
He was really good, but at times he went flicking it over fellas' heads. I was saying, Shane, you're centre back now. Come on. But did the Mark, a lot of their fellas that shone last year, and we haven't, like, I suppose Kieran Bennett is one, obviously, but Jack Fagan, another, like, that really came back to last year's form at the weekend. Like, they didn't have Ira Daly. Yeah. Do you know, but they got big contributions from guys that didn't. Like Desi Hutchinson didn't score, I don't think, but he was very busy.
He was a thorn on their side. Yeah, he was. Like, I mean, he has the pace.
It's a running game, isn't it? It's a running game, like, with him.
Well, that's like, it actually reminded me a little bit like Derek McGrath's team from 4 or 5 years ago. Like, they showed a couple of clips in the Sunday game where you had, where there was one fella on the ball, but you had five fellas running, two on either side of him, and he was going to pop it left or pop it right. But they brought an energy and they brought a fitness to it that we saw last year. We hadn't seen it yet this year in both the league and in their championship match against Clare. At the start of the season, they were definitely flat and Clare were outstanding on the occasion. But I can't keep emphasizing, players know what the best 15 normally are. And Kieran Bennett didn't start the first day for me. And that was a poor sign. I'm going to say this again about Evan Nyland not starting for Galway. I can't understand how he wasn't in the first 15 for Galway. And I think a lot of the players, they know the training that's going in, the time, the effort that's going in, and they nearly know what the first 15 of the best players are on the team. And I think it does play on the spirit of the team. We can all accept that the fellas are injured and stuff for that. That you have to make changes. But when fellas are fully fit, they all know who the best fit. And for me, Kieran Bennett would be in any water for a team that's been picked, because you will get exactly what you want. Whether you want to play him wing forward, midfield, halfback, Kieran will give you everything. He can play any position. Now, look, Shane didn't play last year for one reason or another. And I know he was hurting when Waterford got to the All-Ireland final last year. But they've played him full forward for most of the championship and the league. Went back wing back the last day, and then gave him the number 6 jersey, which I think was a massive thing for him. I've seen him all his underage career. He's a fantastic player, but missing out a season is of no help to his hurling and stuff like that. He will improve. But look, the matches are coming so fast and tick now. Like, if he was getting another 3 weeks before the next round, he'd be even better for the All-Ireland quarterfinal. But what you like about this Waterford team now is the spirit that they showed, the desire, the total attack. And even there was one passage of play where the sideline ball, which I think, to be fair to the referee, probably got it wrong. You know, the short puck that Gleeson hit the bound. The ball only went 3 or 4 yards. He actually should have blown up because he was too close. And you need a bit of luck in the day. But bound to wheel around and then flick it off the ground into Gleeson's hand. He struck it over 70, 80 yards straight out of the bar. All those little things worked for Waterford on Saturday. And they were all, and like the crowd, the Waterford, and like, lads, there was only 1,500 or 1,600 Waterford supporters there. But it felt like there was 20,000 Waterford supporters there. And the players definitely, this particular team feeds off of the crowd in Waterford. And if the crowds will go up again at the weekend, and I think we know that they'll be playing Tip, I can tell you this much, they're going to bring some party next weekend.
Yeah, we got a fair bit of old stick, TJ, and you probably got more blame than I did for not mentioning the potential Aaron Gillane red card last week. We had to apologise, and also just to clear up that, I think we all, including you, TJ, felt it was a red card. And Aaron was very, very lucky, and God only knows what might have happened in the meantime. But your look, Tip are still there, Limerick are still there. So just to clear up on that, we got too excited talking about the comeback, I think, and all that. Yeah. We had another red, TJ, Saturday. Conor Gleeson, the huge pile in it. Joe went to maybe check his run following Conor Whelan, and he flicked like so, and it was caught. I think Jamesy showed it, as long with a lovely picture of JJ Delaney and Ollie Kenning's arses in the stand. Jamesy was able to highlight it for us. But would they have any clue in the dressing room this was about to unfold? You know.
Yeah, we actually had a conversation about it ourselves. Like, and yeah. I suppose we were asking the question that if they did and they took him off, right? I think he needs to be sent off on the field to play, and that's why the referee had to wait for him to come back out. And like, if he took him off and then he made a substitution and said, actually, do you know what? He's sick. He's gone home. What would have happened then? I don't know. Like, it would have been very interesting.
But he COVID symptoms.
COVID symptoms, yeah. So, look, my reaction is, and just even seeing it last night, I think that was harsh. I will go on record as saying the Aaron Gillane one was cast iron. I think nobody could argue against that. That was very straightforward. That was right. Like, Joe checked his run. Yeah, like, I think Derek's point was right. I think it was more of a flick than a malicious hit. I think it was probably a harsh red card. But I suppose the thing from Warnock's point of view is, like, going into a dressing room, you'd like to know and have that 10, 15 minutes to prepare if you only have 14 men, right?
Well, like, Joe was down injured, TJ, and the referee went straight to Sean Stack, wasn't it?
Sean Stack went
straight up to his umpires, like, so...
The umpires called the referees, well, I'd say, see, they're in contact, he went up to them,
Some official didn't pick up on it or something.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, but I suppose, look, you would have thought, and we thought at the time, that that was going to have an adverse effect, because you'd imagine the Galway dressing room at halftime was, we need to start well here. Now they're going to be a man up. You're going to say, no, it's even better again, right? But, like, Waterford won that third quarter 7-3. Hard to believe that they won that quarter. And I was going to say to Cyril there, right, is, like, after the first water break, you felt that Galway didn't play great, right? But it was 9-7 at the water break. You wouldn't have been overly worried. But then the second quarter... like, Waterford won 1-9 to 2 points. They just completely took over there. You were expecting the reaction then, sir, and it didn't come. So it's hard to explain.
Yeah, but, like, we were so much off the pace. Like, what you say is very true. Waterford attacked. They all came in droves, like, together. The short pass, the overlap, their pace. Like, where I was in the stand, I was in the kind of the new stand up and down. On that, say, the right wing of the Waterford attack were passing by, wing backs, cornerbacks, shooting around. We had no pace to cope with them. And they got 8 or 9 or 10 points around, then they got the goal. Like, it was, they couldn't miss at that stage. Like, you know, Gaul weren't in the game at all. But it was the very same against Dublin. Like, we were off the pace. Like, and people are all talking about the match, say, we kind of redeemed, the team redeemed ourselves by coming back. But go back to the Dublin match. You see, we didn't even put on a sub against Dublin. We put on backs for forwards. Like, to me, the rot set in there. These lads are training all year. Now, I don't know what kind of training they're doing, but whatever they're doing, there's no energy in the team. That's what you do to expect to be, have a good bit of zip in them. They're all at the hurl, but, like, that was lacking. If you compare that, say, to the Clare Cork game, or to Clare's display, say, yesterday, or the last few days, like, to me, Brian Lohan got 100%, 110% out of all the players. They died with their shoes on. Galway are kind of frustrated because they know they're much, the people would feel that they're much better than that, but the way they're playing is, like, now they're going to say, well, look what, that team is finished. Someone's going to have to rebuild the team now. With a lot of these that are around the good while, and I don't know whether we'll get the zip. They have the hurdle, but we'll never get the zip back in to be able to play at the pace that you need now. Like,
certainly, yeah. But you'd have a fair feeling for around the place. You go to as many games as you can and all that, and in county league games and all that. Like, the Dublin match was disappointing, obviously, as you've said. Yeah. But was there? We were just speculating last week that there would be a kick in both teams, but there might be a bigger kick in Galway, because people were talking up Galway as the probably big threat to Limerick early on the year. Was that feeling around the place the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, that these boys are going to show that they're better than the 14 against Galway, or against Dublin, sorry.
The feeling was they're getting a second chance, very lucky. They got the extra week, they got the extra break, you know what I mean? And they should have been ready. Okay, there was when the team was picked, lads were saying, geez, hold on a minute, like, there's lads here that are playing terribly bad and they're still on. Like, I don't know what form they were going on picking fellas, and then a lot of that was dropped. You'd wonder, you know, the way things were going. But, like, definitely, like, the way the feeling now is, it's just a feeling that panel has to be rejigged and restructured. There has to be new lads brought in, lads with pace, and kind of, you know, I'm not saying the other lads didn't want to play, but an energy drive needs to come into it. Because if you compare that to Waterford or to Clare or to Cork, like the matches the weekend, there was no energy in our team. And, like, whatever, if I hear lads telling me again how many kgs they're able to lift in the gym, Jesus, this thing gives me fucking a pain at the head. Lifting kgs is lovely. Why are we hitting the bloody ball? I'll tell you one of them. I asked a minor selector the other day, a young lad came on against Limerick. TJ, you know this, a young lad came on and got his few points. Limerick came back to level after 7 points down. Final came up and had no sign of the young lad coming on. One of the selectors said, no, and I said to him after they won the match in Fraters, I said to him, met him with Darren, I said, what about the young lad, the sub that got a few points? Oh, he said, he got a few points there, but he got no hooks or blocks. Hooks or blocks? Christ, I said, I prefer a four to get 3 or 4 points than 10 blocks, if you know what I mean. Like, they're going the other way around. You start off hooking and blocking, and you know the thing up in your back, how much you're going to run. Like, Shawnee O'Leary in his playing wouldn't run at all. But when the ball is breaking around the square, tap it into net. Like, they're obsessed, you know, with making the game maybe more complicated than it is. But that was the answer I got. He did no hooks and blocks, but he got a few points in play. Like, Jesus, yeah,
I was telling the boys there, like, you know, there was a fella from a prominent Clare club, and they had a couple of lads on the Clare Minors. And someone said that this fella was going from the club, went to one of the Clare Minor selectors and said, he's like, we've a lad here that's definitely better than the two boys that are there. Yeah. Like, John, I could tell you for sure. Oh, no, he said there's kind of five criteria. The first one being his speed on the wall, ball to hand back, that he was off it on that. Maybe an old social issue. Maybe he had a couple of pints of cider some night. But, like, there was no doubt in the club men's mind that he was way ahead of the other two when it came to. But we sometimes tie ourselves up in knots, yeah. Mark, with this stuff. Like, you know, we have to maybe try and set some standards. You know, we know ourselves, but Jesus, you can't be pigeonholing 80 lads from minor down and saying to conform.
But what Cyril has said there now is exactly what's happening in Cork as well. Okay,
you're going fine.
Yeah, we're going okay, but they're okay. There's two players in particular now at the moment, right, who are falling into the Cyril category there now, right? Dickie Dalton, right? I'm led to believe that the players have a watch on a training every night, which clocks their heartbeat, which clocks the mileage they're doing in training and stuff like that, right? Now, I can tell you, neither the three of us would prefer to see the watch on. We probably, I'd say, give that to Jerry. Give Jerry O'Connell my watch and I let you go away. I do the hurling, right? You do the running, you know? And I'd say he's one for the fives in that category. It doesn't suit him. But by God, is he what a club hurler he is for Father O'Neill's and for Emmy Killey over the last number of years. And he would probably be in the top three or four physical forwards that I would say. And he has a bit more zip than people actually give him credit for. So, like, you know, some fellas might be able to run 100 metres on the clock faster than everybody else. But I can tell you, some fellas will run faster with the ball in their hand than the other fellas that just run perfectly. And mentioning Shawnee O'Leary, remember about 7 or 8 years ago, I met him in the bank one day, and he says to me, he says, they're all fucking crazy about this speed now, he said. And we didn't know what he said. Usain Bolt, he said, is the fastest man in the world, but I bet you he couldn't hit the ball in the run over the bar from 45 yards out, he said. I said, to laugh at him, said, you're dead right, Shawnee, like, you know.
But, sorry, Mark, I was going to say this earlier. In Galway, do you know the fact that there's nearly too much choice? Like, you take Clare, right? And in fairness to Lohan, right? Lohan Dello has what he has, right? And he has to make the best of that group. He has to buy into them, believe in them, right? Like, if I take Galway, right? We could probably decide you could play three or four different fellas full back. You could play Groth back and Ernie Dahi Burke, Fintan Burke. You could play three or four different centre backs, right? Patrick Mannion, Shane Cooney, Gerard McInerney, Joseph Cooney, right?
You could play one guy at fullback called Dahi Burke.
You could, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, how much of it do you think nearly too much choice?
It is a problem because if you play bad for a day or two in Galway, you're gone. I'll give you an example. I was at a league match good few years ago, Donkey years ago. Kevin Keenan played his first match for Offaly and Bourne, fullback. Christ almighty. If it was in Galway, he'd be gone forever. Very slow, couldn't get the ball. By the following September, it was a match or two before Christmas that time, he was nearly an all-star because they had no one else to lift him in and they worked on it. Galway, like, they're very quick to, you know what I mean, to get rid of a fella if he plays bad at all. Go back to the stats and things. We have a lad in the club at home called Jason Flynn. Now, to me, he is more hurling in one finger than a lot of them have been 10. But they said, oh, he does his work great and he's hooking his breast. I said, lads, look, give him the ball and he'd score. But that doesn't seem to happen. You know what I mean? I'm told it's old style, your old style, you know.
Jeez, when he did get it, he did score, sir.
You know what I mean, Anthony? He has like Tipperary against Limerick the last day. Like, they played three or four long balls in the first half, over the halfback on top of the fullback in Limerick, got the break, stuck it in the net. Second half comes, there's no long ball going in over the halfback. They stop, you know, because it's seen as old style. You know, it's a funny, if it's working, you know, a lot of the time, you want to be playing an instinct. If you have all this special thing in hurling, you want to play a bit of an instinct and let lads hurl as well. You know, like that's what it's all about. I see Stephen Bennett. He was in college at the North End below UL. Great hurler. I don't think in the last regime was he picked at all on the bloody team. because we're on, so you do so many minutes and then you're off and he's going to switch. Like now, like he's blooming, he's gone into a strong man and he's taking on responsibility, he's taking frees, he's everywhere, he's knocking lads out of the way because he's like clay. You know, he's not tied down. And that, to me, the whole thing has kind of gone a little, you know, it's, you're trying to synchronize. Or now, Limerick have a pattern and they're very, very good at it. Very hard to break it down. But like, still, or Tip, for the first 35 minutes, to me, they played fantastic hurling, but weren't there to keep it going. Like, it was great hurling, that lovely, say, hands and wrists. But you have to be able to score an instinct. And the forward's first job to me should be to score. If now he doesn't score, make a score. And if he doesn't, that stop the backs. But now they're doing it the other way around. Yeah. Your first job is to stop the bloody back. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose, Dillo, the instinct. I was going to say, Dillo, it's probably very important that we highlight the importance of Jamie Byrne to this Waterford team. Like he was missing early doors. Like he's nearly the Keane Lynch factor of this Waterford team, and that so much stuff goes through him. He's like just a bundle of energy in the middle of the field. He chips in with his 4 points from play. His effectiveness to this particular team in the way they play, he's huge, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And the decision to play Peter Hogan midfield was probably a few eyebrows even from Waterford people, but they just outpaced Galway there, didn't they? Both of them had to run on their men, like, and I mean, Byrne is so good now, he'd run the match from there for you, and he did run the match virtually. Like, it's hard to believe he was injured for a fairly prolonged period because he missed the Clare game and he only came on for 12 minutes against Leash. So, Jesus, watching him, you know, he's only a week now as well to recover, but watching him, like, you just say, jeez, I mean, this fella is buzzing, like, you know, and again, like, funny, I go back to Cyril's thing about the what you can bench press and all this. Byrne doesn't be tackling everyone. He's just going around, getting on the ball, moving the ball, scoring, linking play. Jeez, like, I mean, he's
going to the ball the whole time. It's funny, Tip will suit Waterford even Byrne because they play conventional from midfield. Suppose in Waterford were drawn against Dublin. Imagine Kenny would have so many midfield that the Jamie Byrne wouldn't be on as much ball. There'd be so much traffic there, he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing, say, in turns. Like, you know, I think Tip would play more conventionally. It actually suit Byrne a lot more. Hard to tie him down, but other teams would crowd the middle and there'd be nowhere to go. You won't pick up as much ball in it anyway.
And what about, sir, you know, I mean, we wouldn't stick daggers in anyone's backs here now in terms of we call it out as we see it, but will there be a feeling for change at the top in Galway in terms of Shane? I mean, a tough time to be manager any time coming from outside into Galway, obviously. But coming in COVID times, very, very difficult.
He had a tough, like, it was very hard for him to, like, there was nothing happening. It was hard to do it, like, to be fair, the new setup. And, like, it was different time. I think what they're looking at for Galway more than anything is to kind of revamp. That team has given great service. They've won the Royal Ireland. Okay, people should have said they won more, but we always say that about the team. Great, gave great service. Like, and you're going to find a couple of them that are going to go themselves. But there definitely is a time like that some of them, now TJ know the club scene very well. They're still great club holders, but that's a different thing to county. Like, and there is a lot of stuff in Galway. Like, you know, four of us could win in Galway and you could pick a brand new 15, and I guarantee you, they'd be there, they'd hold their own. They might win it, but they'd hold their own. As TJ said, there's plenty of choice. I think that's what people are looking for really more than anything else, because this team has given a lot, but the last two games have shown, like, you know, that just, you know, when the championship came, weren't at the pace. And that's, you have to have the hurl, but you have to have pace as well, especially on the flanks, because there's lads flying up and down. And like the wing, modern wing forwards have to cover back, up and down, up and down, up and down. And if you haven't that in you, you won't be able to do it, like, you know. So I would think that's what they're looking for more than anything else. It's very easy to change managers and that, but like, the manager doesn't play, okay, selects the team, like, you know, but they'd have to look at, I think, to revitalize it, pick a new team, really. That's what they have to go at, like, you know.
Yeah, and four minor All-Irelands in a row. TJ, just Mark, sorry, come back to you. There has to be a fair amount of talent there, sure, you'd know it well.
Look at Anthony, the biggest thing in Galway, if you look at closely, since 1990, there's been over 90, between minor under 21, senior All-Irelands, been about 93 All-Irelands have been won. Galway have won over 33% of them, but they've only won one senior. So you have to look between club, minor, under 21. You have to look at what's happening between the transition from the underage thing to the county senior thing. There's a discrepancy there. Like, we're not making good value of what we had. Like, Tip have won three or four. You know what I mean? When you have the stuff, you have to make, you know, like, Clare, to be fair, you know what they have. You know, like Cork are coming again now. Limerick, when they got the Munster wins, when they got the show on the road, they're making hay with the sunshine. We didn't. We got one. And now that team is more or less gone. Like, it's gone. A lot of them be gone. They just find their head to go up to. So that would be, to me, if you're looking at the overall thing, how do we transfer them? Like, the under-21s or the under-20s are playing next tomorrow night. And, like, there's two or three minor teams going in there after winning. And that's saying that doesn't mean they're going to be, but the quality is there around the place. And they're all around that. They're really in college. They're not gone away. They're around the whole time. So that to me, like, you know, whoever, if they look for new lads, they'll have no problem. And they'll be still hard to beat, like, you know, and they'll come with energy. That's the big thing, I think, because they'll have to hurl.
Dale, I think the biggest challenge in most counties in the modern era is to manage reality versus expectation. And in fairness to Shane Owen and John Fiske, when they got it, like, they did build this team up nicely in the league, and the general vibe was around the country that they were best prepared to have a rattle at Limerick, and the expectation was growing and growing and growing, right? And then when you don't win a championship game, then everybody feels that it is a major disappointment. So I suppose they were kind of a victim of their own league success, and they've gone so well. I think for this team, sir, last year's Leinster final loss, I think, was psychologically a blow, because I thought they were nicely positioned to go on and win Leinster. Then this year, I suppose, I honestly thought that Galway were certainties to win Leinster in 2021. Like, if I was putting my money where my mouth was, I would have been hurt severely there, because I thought it was a done deal the way they were
playing. A lot of fellas were.
But this the reality versus the expectation. But I have been fortunate to see all around the county, the club scene is very strong. It's very competitive. Every single day you go out, like Sarah spoke about Jason Flynn 2 years ago in the quarterfinal, Jason Flynn nearly took us out on his own, sir, in Athenry. He was unbelievable. And I'll come back to the point I made at the start, right? To me, and I don't know how exactly you manage it, because it's not in that many counties. There's just nearly too much choice. You nearly have to believe in a fella, and the day he goes down, it's picking back up. And like, whoever happens there for 2022, you nearly have to go and decide, this guy's going to be full back, this guy's going to be centre back. I'm going to build my team from here and work from there and nearly do that. To me, that's nearly what's required in Galway. But there's so much choice. Like I just sort of said, the four of us could just sit down today and look at Galway, and we could pick four different centre backs. That's how much quality is there. But it's the whole management of it seems to be difficult, sir.
Okay, the only thing I would say, TJ, right, and you're right in everything you're saying, right? But we've probably would have said 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago that Garrod McInerney looked like he was after losing a yard of pace. I also said in the pod here that I thought that Joe Canning is a pale shadow of the Joe Canning I saw from a number of years back. And I felt that Evan Nyland should have been in from the start, and Joe Canning should have been used as coming on or as playing midfield. As just a player that's, you know, has no, he has totally lost his pace, lads. And even the fact, I don't know how bad a belt he got on Saturday, but like coming off at half time with his hand inside in his jersey, I thought he was dislocated. His shoulder, the man was out to get. Okay, he got a belt of a hurley, but I thought there was no way we'd see him in the second half. So I don't know, lads. I'd have a strong feeling that that the players there don't feel the right team has been picked, in my view. And they're playing accordingly.
But as I keep going back, as I call him to the professor, Professor Cody, you look at the stuff he has at the moment. Like, look all that he's gone, left off, gone, have given. You know, they're all gone, the gods. And now he has a lot of lads on that team that played Westmeath a few years ago and were beaten in under 21 Eddie Brennan over them. And if they keep going like they're going, they're going to be all-stars. Like, you know. And he's working. They haven't won minors lately, under 21s, but he always keeps introducing a fella or two. And the one thing you're going to get the whole time from them is, you know, you're going to get the same commitment, the same hardness. If they get a belt, they'll go down, they'll hop up, they'll take it on the chin, they'll give it. Like, yeah. What do you call him? Lee Chin cutting through, down the middle, going through. Next thing, Paddy Deegan, put his body on the line. No one put them. Last year, Galway playing Limerick. Kyle Hayes comes up along the touchline. On the touchline. I wouldn't mind the lads not catching them behind because they can't catch up to him. But the lads faced him. No one hit him, put him over the line. Same against Tip. Wouldn't blame the lads not catching up. But no one came to hit them a rattle. But Paddy Deegan came and took. He was hurt, but he took the belt. That's what you have to instill into teams. And that's what Cody has the whole time. And whoever is going to play them, they mightn't have any. So if they keep winning, they're going to have all-stars. Around the country, a lot of these lads aren't known at all. But by God, again, like the one thing you're going to get, he has what teaches, and he picks the fellas that, you know, he sets on them.
Correct.
And that, if you don't like it, lump it. And if you don't like the training, you know what I mean? He doesn't actually drop the lads. He just, you have to have the penalty. He just doesn't pick them. So therefore, just they get the message themselves.
But Sirlo, he nearly has a character box before strength and conditioning, pace, doing all that kind of stuff. If you take the character box for Cody, he'll fix the rest of them nearly.
That's true. Because he'd say to you, when their boy come into my panel, they're all into hurling. I'm not going to teach them how to hurl, but I'll teach them how to play team hurl. You know what? They'll do the basics. They don't have to do the flashy things. And I'm looking forward to seeing the fast. We'll call it the fast teams, the flashy teams playing. Because to me, they'll grind. They'll do. You know, they'll grind on it. They're doing what you said as well, Mark. You know, say like the big fella Walter Welsh. You know, Killian Buckley.
Wally.
He's not. No matter how good the player when they come on, he's not picking them. He's waiting for the last 10 minutes and get that 10 minutes out. They know their job, and there's no one to say boo, because if you do, you're got, like to me, the counties, if you want to be successful, should be looking closely at what he's doing. Because whatever he's doing, like, you know, they're very, very successful. Love them or hate them, they are the benchmark the whole time.
The big thing for me with Kilkenny has always been attitude, subtle, right? I think the first character that he's going for is attitude. If a fella's attitude is right, you can do all the other things with him. Like John Donnelly, Massey Keown, right, Walter Welch. I certainly know from a Cork point of view, there wouldn't be a whole pile of Cork selectors would pick those three lads because they don't have that flash ability, right? And I saw it firsthand dealing with them. I was involved with a senior team for 1 year, and I said, lads, we need to change our whole thinking, because I said, we have lovely hurlers, they have great skill, but by Jesus, there's a few of them wouldn't go into a dark room, like. And that's the thing we have with the Kilkenny fellas. By God, I tell you the truth.
They wouldn't be Dale over it. When we teach it, they got to tell you the other way.
They'd be safe enough with me today, sir.
Maybe now, but not a while ago. The other
lads. No, lads, look, I just think, you know, and Joe obviously achieved a massive milestone the weekend, becoming the greatest, highest ever scorer, passing out Henry. You know, I just think, If it is to be the last of some of those Galway lads, and there is a rebuild, and we can only speculate now, sure, everything changes as the weeks go on, but they've given great old value to that Galway team. And I think of some of the Galway tip matches in the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, and Joe alone, and even Mark, whether he should be playing for the whole 70 minutes or not, but Jesus, Joe was fair and instrumental in the comeback. I mean, he caught a couple of balls. You know,
and his vision for the goal.
Oh, the ball inside the Jason Flynn.
Pop the ball in over your man's head, straight into Jason Flynn's head. I saw him playing with Port Tumna when he was a kid against Newtown Shandrum, and he carried that Port Tumna team, but he was the man taking the freeze at 16, 17 years of age. He was the fella getting all the scores. Look, Canning has been a brilliant, brilliant player and a lovely guy, lovely chap. It's just that at some stages, how do you utilise him best? And that's the question I have at this moment in time. I thought earlier on in the year, I thought Galway were playing a way better utilising Joe coming off the bench, in my view.
Yeah, yeah. And look, that's the way now. There's so many players in the country, even watching the football. They're not 70-minute players or 75-minute players anymore. They're kind of, you know, they're the 30-minute guys, the 25-minute guys. But just to say that, I just want to say that some of those Galway players I've loved watching. And I'm not retiring any of them now. But I'm thinking of those guys who 17 and the other, jeez. Right back to 12.
Do you know what the turn of that Galway team, Anthony, as well? As a leader, David Burke, when he's not on. David Burke, okay, his best year is probably behind him. Like, he's given great service as well, and when he's playing, he's a leader on the pitch. He doesn't have to be as good as others. He's had to lead. He's had to make the right decisions, both with club and county. He's done it so often. When he's missing, to me, there's no one replacing him at the moment on that team when he's not on. You know, now, okay, he has to come to the end of his tether sometime, but to me, he's a terrible vital cog. You know, and wouldn't have to be the best player, but just his presence alone, making the right decisions, and kind of he's the real leader, and he's missing on that team, I tell you.
Yeah, he was on the bench, sir, wasn't he? Like he was number 21. Like I know I'd be completely biased here, right, in saying that, geez, if I was going to war in the morning, I'd certainly have Davy Burke in the middle of the field, bringing me to whatever it is, sir, 45, 50, 60 minutes, and then get some young fellas to bring us home. But like, if you go back to the Limerick game in the league this year above in Salt Hill, sir, Davy Burke had an unbelievable first half in that game. Like, so you... it's back to choice again, isn't it? Like, are you thinking these younger guys are going to come? Like, but as I said, from a completely biased side. And the other one is, I thought, I've been amazed with Fintan over the last couple of years in club hurling. I thought, again, he got a quick shift. Maybe there could be something done more with him. But again, because of choice and because of different things. But again, that's me with my St. Thomas' glasses on. But certainly, I would have Davy Burke starting on that team for sure.
Yeah, there's a teacher, like, there'll be a few people around the county. That I don't know how to draft him. Like, I mean, he might be brilliant, but he was as good as everyone else. You could drop the whole lot at the Dublin game. Yeah. But to me, with the future, Fintan Burke would still be the future going on. But at the moment, there's no one replacing David Burke's leadership on that team. And to me, he's a terrible loss because you need leaders. You know what I mean? You need them. And when they go out of the team, they might be missing. Like, the hurling doesn't come into it as much as the leadership at times.
Yeah, so lads, we have to move it on a small bit. I suppose we're always going over time in this show, and today would be another recipe for that. But we mentioned Laois, great win, some turnaround by Cheddar's men last few weeks. But obviously, Mark, fantastic win for ye, badly wanted by ye. We would have badly wanted it ourselves. And I suppose, as we said when we did the introduction, if you asked me to pick a clear hurler of all time to get that ball, I'd probably have gone for the Sparrow. No, he wouldn't be going around the field doing what Tony was doing. He'd probably have planted that in the cup bottom corner. No.
Yeah.
If you asked me to fall to a better man than Tony, you know. And that was really clear, never say die, which has been the way this year, and Cyril touched on that. But when Clare went ahead, it was a 21-20. Yeah. I thought, Mark, here we go again. I says, we have them now.
Oh, yeah.
Foot on the throat. But, Jesus, they did respond really well, Cork.
They did. And you're right. And Anthony, when Clare went a pint up, they had reeled Cork in from being 5 points up themselves. So I thought Cork had made their way for home with about 15 minutes to go, that they were 5 points up. So, and the response was to bring on Conor Cahalan at the time, which I thought was a bit of a surprise, because I was saying, to scorers more than what great guys that we were looking for. But I suppose the introduction of Barrett was a big help, and the introduction of Connolly then straight afterwards, and particularly Connolly, the first ball that Connolly latched onto, he showed exactly what Sel has been saying earlier on, right? That give me a scorer first rather than if it does a lot of hooks and blocks. And when the game is tight like that, like we won All Ireland in 99 with Shawnee McGrath playing Conor forward. And I'd say at halftime, everybody in the stadium thought he was going to be taken off. But he got 3 points in play in the second half. And it wasn't for hooks and blocks that he was left on. It was his ability to be able to snipe a couple of scores here and there as the game went on. So, like, I would say there was great credit. Like, this was a game that Cork needed to win. And this is a game that Cork have lost in the past. So we have...
The way they won it, like.
Correct. To win a tight one. That's the big one, I suppose, is what you'd be saying. And I'd have to say, I thought the standard of hurling was pretty good as well. It was lively, it was honest, it was fair. And I thought very well handled by John Keenan as well. A couple of incidents that you're always going to have question marks over. But in general, both teams went out at hammers and tongs and just played in a great spirit and a great manner. But, you know, I'd give great credit for Rory Hayes, the point he scored. Like, you were 6 points down and he knocked the ball over the bar. All of a sudden, then there was a penalty. It's now back to 2 points. And it just shows that in the hurling games now, anything can happen later on, because other teams would have went for a goal straight away when there were 6 points down. He knocked the ball over the bar and gave an opportunity to arise again afterwards. And I thought that was a very sensible thing to do. But in the overall context, Anthony, like, we really, really needed that victory. You know, this particular team needs that victory. And the fact that they went out, I suppose, without Damien Cahalan and lost Damien on Wednesday to appendicitis, and lost Owen Cadigan, who was going to be going in full back to a groin injury on Thursday night. You know, I thought Rob Downey, in fairness, came in and looked like a fella that had been there all his life. And we mentioned it previously. He played 3 league games full back last year in the league and was very, very good there. And then Cadigan came back and he got pushed out wing back. And I felt at the time when I said this, I think he's made for full back. I think he's a very cool customer, goes about his business nice and tidy, but has plenty hurling left and right. He's a big man as well. And I think he's a great future for Cork at full back. And I think he could solve one of the positions for us.
Yeah, a lot of disappointment around here, TJ, yesterday. Now, people shell-shocked, I suppose, even Saturday night. Wouldn't been a huge crowd at the match, obviously, but anyone that was going, kind of came out west, called in, I suppose. And I just, the way Clare played it, it's all in, like, it's everyone fighting for everything. But it's a high-percentage game, sort of, isn't it? We flood the middle, sort of. And then we have wides with shooting under pressure, and they mount up. And then, if you concede in three goals down on top of, which are crowded enough, even though there was still space in the Cork full forward line, which for me, that would bother me with the way we're set up, but you have to nail probably a higher percentage of what from outside with the way Clare set up.
Yeah, you're spot on. Like, Clare finished the game with 18 wides, which is a big total, and all those, like, probably a couple of them hurt maybe in the second half. I was fortunate to be at the game, Dello. It was incredible viewing. A good jockey buddy of mine picked me up on his way from Cork. So to watch all the battles going on, especially between Niall O'Leary and TK, yeah. That was incredible. Like, even just watching that off the play, like the two of them, and it was very tough, but it was sporting. Both of them gave it to each other. Leary got a couple of great flicks away, and he tapped Tony Kelly. You've probably seen on television once or twice, Kelly got one or two great scores and he tapped him back. The two of them had an almighty battle. But like,
and there was no malice. There was no malice in that.
There was no malice. Like, to see Tony Kelly get one or two of the scores he got, they're off the charts, like, and see him covering ground. But what I will say about from Clare's point of view is, right, they threw the kitchen sink at him. They created, like, the general kind of thinking today would be the Cork's pace created goal chances, right? Mm. But then Clare created two or three very good goal chances as well, right? And there's probably two or three pieces of play that will kind of maybe go amiss, right? Hoggy's flick for Kingston's goal, right? That looked like he meant that. The pass from Kingston had to be low, otherwise it was going to be blocked. Hoggy flicked it. It was a beautiful ball into his hands. And the other piece of play was Ryan Taylor's ball to Gary Cooney. Was just unbelievable. Just pure jam. Mm. Great chance of a goal again. And you nearly would have felt at the game, right, that if that hit the back of the net, Dello, it probably would have put you big time in the driving seat, right? So, tactically, again, you're right in what you're saying, but to what Cyril is saying there, like, Lohan, in fairness, him on the line, and he nearly has a kind of a Cody shadow or something on the line, right? Because I saw him barking once or twice, like, right? And, like, he just gets everything out of him. Davey Mack got a downtowner, and that was just driving him on. You could see Lohan on the sideline. And they just got everything they could out of the players they had. And, like, there was nothing in it. Like, as I said, people might think that Cork created the goal chances. Like, Cork have lightning pace up top, Matt. There's no doubt about that. It's exciting to watch. The goal on their minds. Jack O'Connor definitely wants goal, goal, goal. Kingston is thinking goal. Like, Hoggy, like, I know he's coming towards the end of it as well, right? But again, he chipped in with 3 points and play one off his knees. So really, really good game to watch. The passing, the striking the ball. Ever Quilligan was striking the ball either side, like down to the 21-yard line, right? The stick passing, the handling. Kyle Malone in the middle of the field chips in with 3 points.
Brilliant.
So all round, I would say a high-quality game and a real boost for Cork to win that. And today, Marky, I'm sure that Corkness would draw. Like, there's a pep in your step. I can nearly see it, right? That you'll be kind of loud this week. You've got Munster under 20, Munster under 25 on Wednesday night.
They don't get loud.
That's the important game this week, TJ.
It is.
The minus two is tonight.
I thought Clare made one big mistake. They should have pushed up on the Cork puckouts. When you let a team like Cork or Limerick and those that running teams get a sharp puck out to the cornerback or wingback and they can look up and pin it up the pitch. If I was playing Cork, maybe I'm completely wrong, I'd shove up and make them poke the ball and everyone had to fight for the 50-50 ball. Because you're asking for trouble. Now, Clare really played well, but I thought that was one thing that you should have done because they were conceding the puck out. Okay, they had an extra man back, but the way Cork play, off the shoulder, running at pace, you're asking them to come on to you. Like, if you shoved up on it, the goalie would have to puck out the ball. But the lad to me that the Cork team looked lovely and Clare goes up. The lad to me that's shining out, I think he's a great hurler, maybe completely and very, very great pace is Sean O'Donoghue, the cornerback. That guy to me is very, very good, kind of underrated. But both teams, look, I really enjoyed the match. No, like, it was a great look. But I just felt that Clare, they were conceding every puck out. And God, when you do that against a running team, if you do that against Limerick, you'll be talking about doing this water. They'll run that. They like that game. the big thing is if you stop them from getting the ball, they can't run. So therefore, that's the one thing I would say. If the Clare management look at it again for playing Cork again, I'd say they should push up and the puck out.
And if Tony buries the last one, then it. Yeah. We're talking kind of different stuff this morning, you know. We're not going to be like, I was very proud of Clare, I have to say. But the only thing, like, we were getting nothing much to stick up front, Mark. I mean, as Cyril said, Sean, I don't know who Downey, obviously, and I know he was doing his own job, but they were coming, like, any ball we played up was coming out again. I mean, Shanahar didn't get going.
No.
There wasn't the same return from him. He hasn't been scoring as much as we'd like anyway, but he has been doing Trojan work in terms of holding up the ball for the runners and breaking the ball. But we can get enough to stick. And then I felt we were playing the high percentage shots from outside. And like you are on a, Clare, even traditionally Limerick, maybe we'd be shooting. Our scoring record would never be as high as a Cork tip record. I'm not saying that continued some fine lines. Like, I mean, you get the goal at the end. Doesn't matter. You're saying what warriors they are to keep going. But the Cork full back line, and even, the Corker allowing Tim O'Mahony get up the field as well. Nice bit still, aren't they? As another sort of a threat.
Yeah, I suppose, Anthony, Aidan McCarthy got a couple of points, right? But he missed a few chances as well that he'd normally has been scoring this year. Ian Galvin got a quick shift and his replacement, Matty Rogers, got replaced again afterwards. So he wasn't a success. So that, to be fair, possibly is down to the success of maybe the Cork defence. And you mentioned Sean, I don't know. Like, Sean is probably outside of Sean Finn, you're probably the second cornerback. As Rory Hayes has been very good so far this year, but Jack O'Connor gave him a bit of a skinning on Saturday night now as well. But there are three excellent cornerbacks that we have in the game at the moment. But you're right, so Sean is certainly under the radar in terms of where he is in the pecking order of cornerbacks. But, I mean, any good forward that needs to be marked, I would have Sean O'Donoghue on him all day. He has pace, he also has the strength, and he's very, very calm. Very, very calming influence around the place. But I thought your forwards didn't probably do enough, Anthony, on the night. Tony Kelly was excellent. There's no point in going over. He was brilliant all through. And the point he scored in front of Lohan on the stand side from about 70 yards out was just brilliant. Having the referee had already probably awarded a free, but he left it stand. We saw everything out of Tony Kelly that he has. But I suppose, the Cork defence has been much maligned over the last 4 or 5 years. To concede 123, that's not bad. And to think the two of your defenders from the Limerick game didn't start, and they're two of our most experienced fellas in Callahan and Cadigan, that argues well. And then Cullum Spillane came back into the panel for the first time over the weekend as well. So now you have six that played, and you have those three fellas as well. And Sean O'Leary Hayes had saw championship action. So that's 10 players that you could say, if it doesn't happen from this year, they have a very, very good panel of players right now. And Kieran Kingston has made that point all along and referenced the fact that the average of the team is, the age is 24 years of age. That's very positive. And to think that Barrett and Connolly actually qualify for the under-20s at the moment is very significant as well. So that's just to tell you how young they are. And in fairness to Kingston, he has blooded them. And, go back to Sel's point about fellas pushing weights. Jack O'Connor, as you can see yourself, isn't the biggest lad in the world. And how he managed to get a yellow card for hitting John Conlon, a belt of his shoulder, I'll never know, for Christ's sake. I'd be tapping him on the back for actually hitting him a belt of his shoulder. But and the funny thing is that yellow card cost him a sending off later on in the game. But I think overall, you have to mention Luke Mead in the middle of the field. The way he linked the play, he was all over the place. And what I like about Luke, there's nothing flash about him. He does the simple things and he does them well. And that's really what you want out of most players. Going back to the Ben O'Connors, the Jordines and all those players, the one compliment you would always play, or Henry or TJ, they'll always do the right thing with the ball. And that's what I like about good quality hurlers. They make the right decisions at the right time. And Luke Mead brings that to the team, which is fantastic. So, we have a lovely, lovely blend of players now.
Just on Luke Mead, do you notice Gary Spillane blood in Luke Mead? His uncles are all in Gary Spillane. His great uncle, the great Jeddy Mead, has a shop in Knocklong. right? So there's a lot of Gary Spillane blood in him. Just
that,
so you're
that
aware.
Explains, that explains that.
That explains how he's on. But it's Matt makes sense. But good players under pressure still make the right decisions. It's a thing that a lot of lads don't have. And it's hard enough even to you don't teach fellas either. Have it, you know, the kind of instinct has to come into it.
Yeah, and I suppose we'll have a look ahead to the games later in the week, to the quarterfinals now, what a Mount Water and line up again to begin. Just to say, I suppose, well done to Kieran. You know, you're always under pressure when you're the Cork manager, I think. So, you know, and
Anthony, it's like being the football manager in Kerry. You just expect that there's going to be an All-Ireland, like, you know, and he's dealing with the players that he has. He has gone with a running style game. It's a high risk game. It's probably not a traditional game that a lot of Cork former players or supporters would like to see. They'd prefer a little bit more long ball. And I think in time it's just a mixture, but at this moment in time, it's about building confidence and it's about building results. And I suppose, like, there are three massive games for Cork this week. We're playing Limerick in the minor on Tuesday night. We're playing them again in the under 20 on Thursday night and then playing Dublin on Saturday. So this is a massive, massive weekend for Cork hurling. You know, I think they'd be very hopeful on the minor. But the under 20 is a real critical game now. That's a critical game because that Limerick team is pretty good. And after the lads winning the under 21 or under 20 2 weeks ago, if we could put a Munster title to that, we have a lovely blend of players. Like there's a couple of lads there. Kieran Joyce, centre back from Castlemartyr. He's a Rolls Royce player now. He's a Rolls Royce fella. He will. Like, as a fella said to me the other night, he's Brian Cochraness, is what he said. He'll be playing 3 years under 20, and he would have, we'd say, as an 18-year-old, he would have played centre-back, winning the first All-Ireland. So I don't want to put any pressure on him, but by geez, he's a serious, serious player now. Serious player.
Yeah, and there's a little bit, I'll have a long way to go to reach certain levels, I suppose, as well. We know that, like, but the emphasis, and we've pointed it out since the start of the league, it's been obvious, everyone is pointing it out now, the emphasis on going for the goals. It reminds you of Searle's team in the 80s, like, you know, when the goal chance is half there, other times I would have felt some of those Cork forwards would have taken the point. Now they're trying to go in, and Harnedy's ball inside to Barrett was a
brilliant ball.
And like, you know the way he shaped, he looked like he was going to hit the ball over the bar, but he saw him out of the corner of his eye, and pegged it straight into his hand. And what was great, like, is it went straight, ball to hand, take out the fluff and the trying to have to control it and all that kind of stuff. And I like the fact that Barrett took it in his hand first time, did a smart twist, back of the net. Like, other Cork forwards were trying to put their hurley to the ball first. We all know, get the ball in your hand first and stick it then, like, you know. But, Hannity, like, nobody has any clue what Hannity went through to get on the field on Saturday night. He got a dead leg against Limerick, went back training, then tore his thigh muscle again 10 days out, and he did everything in his power to get on the field. A bit like Alvin Jones, I suppose, with the Lions. I was with him on Friday there now, and that some of the therapy he was going through to get back on the field was just brilliant. And he could have ended up probably scoring 1-5 or 1-6, but he was his general physical presence is the major thing. And even when he was coming off in the 70th minute, there was a thing flashed in my head. I said, Jesus, don't take him off. Just have him on the field to play. Because you go back to the Limerick game when he was taken off, we just totally capitulated, collapsed. Was it because of him or not? I don't know. But the physical presence is taken out of it. And he's even vital, we were 6 points up.
He's vital to that.
He's absolutely solid. He's key to that setup. He's the fella that everything bounces off of, and he ultimately is the real leader in that forward line. That Hannity is, like, you know, and you know, hopefully now he'll be injury free this week. And like, we need an injury free situation, because I tell you so much, I think we're going to get a ferocious test from the Dubs, and I know we'll cover it later on in the week, but yeah, it's a tough draw, I think, for us, like, you know.
It is, and look, lots, so much to look forward to again next weekend, and with two shows this week, obviously. I just want to finish by saying, I love what you said there about Lohan, and maybe a little link to Cody. Now, look, that's miles away, obviously. But there's just something, and I think with the turmoil in our underage at the moment, and Clare of an opportunity now, hopefully he's an interest in doing it, you know, because that is, it's a big commitment. He's a young family. If we could tie down Brian for two or three more years, I think it'd be a massive move by whatever kind of a Clare County board we have by the end of the year. But I just think as an immediate, try and get that man, stabilize it. If he wants to change up his backroom staff, his coaching, or whatever, maybe he's quite happy with the way it is. But I think it'd be huge, because I see fellas that are stepping up for Clare that I wondered would they make it. And I think the likes of Gary Cooney's, young Roger's probably on a bit sooner than I would have liked him coming on. You know, he was hitting the straps really when he was coming on the other games with 15, 20 to go, but maybe he was on that bit soon.
Malone is playing out of his skin for
him. Unbelievable. Now, in fairness to Donald and Jerry, I suppose Cahill really has hit form the last 2-3 years, but now he's just, he's one of the best midfielders in Ireland now. There's no doubt about that. So look, hats off to Brian and his team for the joy. Four matches, doesn't I think we won four matches twice to win two All-Irelands, like, and the boys have given us so much, and yet they're not even in the quarterfinal. So, lads, fantasy has been moves, TJ, again, and the fantasy. Yeah,
before we go away from Clare, I actually met Shane O'Donnell after the game, and he was unfortunate that he was out as well for Brian, right? And even going for, like, they had 10 scorers from play at the weekend, right? Even if someone like Peter Duggan, I'm not sure where he is in the world, right? Could he get him back? There's plenty of positives. They have a nice spine, and you would think this is definitely moving in the right way. Yeah, sure, on to the fantasy. I had a good week. I'm up to third. I'm perfectly poised now for the quarterfinal.
Yeah,
the challenge I have now, I know who's going to win the one quarterfinal. She's Mackie. You can't go to Galway with a cough like that.
I got a COVID test on Friday, and I tested negative, TJ.
Yeah, the challenge for all of us is to try and see who's going to be in the semi-finals and who's going to be in the final. Which team is going to get the three games and trying to get the players. But there's one kind of really, really noticeable dive down this table, Dale, isn't there?
Well, I was in trouble there, TJ, but I think I've pulled safely clear of that relegation. Big score out of me, I'm going to say straight out, 155. And I gambled with the Watford lads, and they came good for me. And all I had was Colin Mannion from Galway. Now, I knew there was something. But the Queen, 79 points,
Am I right? Am I right in saying that Honda Queen was top after week one? Was that correct?
Was top.
No,
Saturday.
Was top. Okay, second from Saturday. The top. Yeah. TJ, there any chance you might send me on Sam Allardyce's number, would you?
You need Big Sam. You need to talk to him, yeah.
Pat Mull at sport.com. He's gone. Allardyce is in.
He doesn't care about you this week either. The Galway races are on.
No, yeah.
Well done, Larry. And then, TJ, you'll be delighted to see on our listeners.
The hurler in the ditch.
My buddy is back top again.
The hurler in the ditch is back top. For me, Rognina, good week. Shane Hassett, very tight at the top. 9.92 and hurler in the ditch, 9.96.
Some scores, to be fair to them.
Oh, unreal. I don't think any of them got 150 something though this week, but I had a lot out. But, it's who, 5 changes for this week. So, look, thanks for listening to the review, and Butler Hurley's for sponsoring, lads. And thanks this week, sir, for joining us there. You know, it's a heavy week for you as well, sir, with Ballybrit on. Like, you've been known to appear there, even with only 1,000 spectators in there. And there could be an outing from the Queen as well, Mark.
Yeah, you might have seen me looking down at my phone there while the podcast was on. So the balloting was going on, and she was fourth in the ballot to get into the male's handicap on Wednesday, first race up. And I just have a thumbs up from the trainer, Mr. Buds, to say she will be lining up in Ballybrit.
Great news.
19 years, Anthony, I'm going to Ballybrit. I missed 1 year because my middle fella Matthew was born on the 30th of July. So he's 6 this Friday. And it's going to be a great week anyway, having a runner in Galway for the first time ever.
You will be home for your birthday, will you?
Well, if she wins on Wednesday, Friday could be a problem. And we're going on holidays on Saturday. So I just said to Jackie, I said, I will be home for the holidays anyway, at least.
Right, we'll see all the best.
We'll give it our best shot anyway, like, you know.
Good stuff, good stuff. So thanks a million, lads. Great stuff as always. And thanks, Cyril, especially for joining us. Great to have you. A treat, Cyril, for us to have you. And wish everyone the best. Enjoy. The sunshine that they're telling us is going to be gone. So we'll see about that. But thanks to Renault and thanks to Larry and Rafe there as well in the background. So all the best, guys.
Best luck, boys.
Cheers, Dale.
With Renault, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.